Well, here we are. Graduation day. Of course, I didn't want it to be like this. I wanted to be an electrician or maybe a plumber. But fortunately, I didn't do very well at school, so I had to go to Oxford University instead. So here we go. Graduated, and it's going to be years and years of low-paid employment, working as a waiter or something ahead of me, or perhaps years and years of deeply unsatisfying employment as an academic, where short-term contracts, where I no pension, where I can't say what I want to say, just feeling really, really unhappy and despondent. But I'm hoping to give it another go. I'm hoping to give it another go. I'm hoping if I work really hard, if I really, really study, then I will be able to be an electrician or a plumber and, you know, get a proper job. But at the moment, graduation day, the best I was able to do. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of the Jolly Heretic. Now, today I would like to talk about the decline of universities, the decline of the need for higher education, the decline of the professions, and the rise of skilled blue-collar work, and how that appears to be the future if you want to earn serious money. It is extraordinary, the change that has taken place. When I was young, university was for an elite of about 20% or less of the population who were the absolute best and who went to university. Now, over half of young people go to university, and the consequence is that the university degree is meaningless in terms of earning more money or whatever, simply because there are so many people going there. But so many people going there has had other consequences, which I will look at later, which is undermining the value of the degree, undermining the value of university, and meaning that increasingly, I suspect, we will see a situation where people will stop bothering to go to university, and you will have the rise of ersatz universities that will cater to intelligent people that go into the trades in order to give them a reasonable education, a knowledge of the world, should they want it. But let's first of all look at the key research. So there was a study recently on UK academics, and it was found that 50,000 there are 70,000 researchers, 70,000 people in the UK that are working in some way in academia. Of those people, 50,000 people say they want to quit. So two-thirds say they want to quit in the next 5 years. Their employment is insecure. They are on fixed-term contracts. There are very few benefits. And as I say, that number of people said that they are likely or very likely to quit sometime in the next 5 years, despite all of the time and effort and energy and money they have got, they have put into obtaining their PhDs and getting into academia. 6 out of 10 of them said that they feel extremely unhappy with their job and with their work situation. 9 out of 10 of them are not optimistic about the future of academia. And remember, there is kind of a wisdom of crowds in this respect, isn't there? 90% of British academics are not optimistic about the future of British academia. And 8 out of 10 said that poor pay was one of the reasons why they were interested in leaving the sector. I remember at my own graduation party in the theology department at Durham University, a very drunk Old Testament lecturer said to my mother, "So what do you do then?" And she said, "I'm a teacher." Said, "Oh, you earn more than me then." So that's the, you know, they are very, very badly paid. Not only that, but if you are one of those people like myself that was interested in going into academia to pursue the truth, to understand the nature of the world, then you are in serious trouble. When I started at university, we were told by the head of our college, "Look, here's the situation. You are here in order to learn about the truth, in order to learn the nature of the world. You may find this offensive. So what? Truth is not interested in your feelings. You are here to learn about the most accurate, logical understanding of some component of reality. And if you're offended by that, oh, tough luck. Maybe you shouldn't be here." Now, that was the generation that was born in the 1940s that was still in charge of universities in 1999. That generation and that way of thinking has, of course, gone. And we have now the takeover of the universities by a new religion, which puts wokeism, which puts certain things feelings, certain dogmas ahead of the truth. And the result is that you will be very, very disappointed if you go into university naively thinking that this is all about the truth and this is all about understanding the nature of the world, a better understanding of history, a better understanding of science or whatever. No, 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 no. It has been found that 83% of students claim that they self-censor in the interests of conforming to the dogma that has overtaken university. This was up this year. This is up from 60% in 2020. That's a massive increase. So increasingly, students are finding that they self-censor, that they can't say what they want. And three quarters, 75% of conservative academics claim that they have to rigorously self-censor. Now, what we are seeing then, what we are potentially seeing, is the decline of the university. We have a situation where let's look at how this happened. We have a situation where the university is based around truth, based around logic, based around science, and it has clear results. It comes up with things that win Nobel Prizes. It comes up with things that are important in the world. This is an important thing, and it attracts esteem. It attracts prestige. It becomes prestigious to go to university, and it is believed that this is where the most intelligent people go, this is where the best people go, this is where the elite people go, and this is where you go to understand better the nature of the world. Now, obviously, therefore, because this will bring in highly intelligent people, the genius types that will come up with brilliant ideas, but because it has a prestige to it, it also brings in people that just want prestige, people that are power hungry, people that are narcissistic, people that just want high social status, and they see university and having gone to university as a marker of high social status. Now, those people, people that are Machiavellian, people that are narcissistic, they don't care about the truth. They don't care. They may be good at logic. They may be clever, intelligent people, but they're not super intelligent people. They're perhaps what we might call the midwit type that I've looked at before. And they don't care about the truth. They care. They put other things above the truth. Power is more important than truth and consistency. Esteem is more important than truth and consistency. What people think of you is more important than truth and consistency. And they will come in to university and they will gradually take over the university, because those people are going, if you're going to give a job to two kinds of people, the genius type, who is outlier high intelligence such that he's a bit autistic and is obsessed with truth, combined with moderately antisocial personality, which means that he thinks outside the box and is able to come up with brilliant ideas, that he is moderately low in agreeableness, so he doesn't care about offending people and rocking the boat in terms of scientific revolutions, and so he comes up with this brilliant stuff. Are you going to employ him, or are you going to employ what I have called the head girl type? And the head girl type will be high intelligence within normal boundaries, combined with a highly pro-social personality that is aimed towards achieving socially acceptable goals. Who are you going to employ? Well, you're obviously going to employ the head girl type, be he male or female, the head boy type. And so those people will gradually take over the university, and those people will then put power, put esteem, put prestige and things like this, put the, above truth. And eventually what that will result in, we can call this the priestly cycle of universities, if you like, will be the university turning into a church in which there are certain dogmas and certain ideas that are socially acceptable that are placed above the pursuit of truth. Eventually, as this takes over, the university will stop pursue it, will expand and expand and expand. That's another thing. As something is prestigious, it expands. And so you get more people that want to go there, with the result that the value of the university starts to decrease. And the people that come into the university are less intelligent, less focused around logic, less reasonable, less trusting, more paranoid, less hard-working, and all of the correlates of low intelligence, more dogmatic, so that they will then change the nature and the culture of the university. Less analytic in their thinking, so that it is even more antithetical to truth. And eventually, particularly if you're charging them money, which is now the case at British and has always been the case at American universities, they will demand that the university bends to their will rather than the other way round. It was different when I started. We were only paying £1,000 tuition fees. It was mummy and daddy paid that. So the result was that, of course, they could say to you, look, we're in charge, you're children, we're telling you the truth. If you don't like, if the truth offends your feelings, sod off. Now that's impossible. Now they can turn around and say, we're customers and we demand this and we demand that. And so then, of course, the result is that the whole culture of the university changes and it becomes an ersatz church for, I suppose, reasonably middle class people. And the genius types are expelled. They're moved out. The highly intelligent people that are obsessed with the truth are moved out as it is taken over by whatever religion it is. And in our case, it's a religion that's based around individualism. It's a religion that's based around the worship of equality, the worship of harm avoidance, and certain other woke dogmas that we all know. And so then you get a movement back to gentlemen scholars, to people that are outside the university, that start to pursue research. And this is increasingly happening with the expulsion of Noah Kahle from Cambridge, for example. So he's now an independent researcher. And there are many other examples. And what you also then get is, and we're seeing this now, is the establishment of alternative institutions. So it used to be that you needed to have a library. You needed to have access to a library. And this meant that you had to go to university. There was no other option. Or you had to know some great patron or whatever that had a massive library so that you had access to information. When I started at university, they used to say, oh, well, look, you may take advantage of the fact that you've got this library. Enjoy your first year. Enjoy your access to knowledge. We now have the internet. So all of this information is freely available. So all that is needed is for people to... people may want somebody to sort of curate it for them, to present it for them in an interesting and stimulating manner so that they can better learn it. And so therefore you would expect to get the establishment of alternative sort of ersatz de facto universities for people who would eschew university but would still want to be taught stuff. And that's what's happening, by the way. I mean, that's now happening. We've got most obviously in Germany there's one called Gegen Uni, which is mainly in German, but which has courses on various, you know, non-woke, truth-seeking sort of things. It really is trying to teach about science, about genuine science, rather than the woke, censored science within the universities. And I personally, by the way, have a course which I teach there called Sociobiology. And if you're interested, you should sign up to my course on sociobiology. And it will be taught not in this kind of way, where it's where, you know, it's short little snippets, but a proper university lecture, a series of university lectures on sociobiology, where I tell you all of the details of different interesting aspects of sociobiology. So that's what you would expect to get, and that's what seems to be happening. And you would gradually expect the university to have less and less and less prestige, and for people to stop going. At the elite level, indeed, you would expect to see evidence of people just bypassing university. And this is already happening. This is already happening. People leaving English public schools and going through various programmes straight into business without doing a degree. Newspapers, for example, setting up means whereby people that don't have a degree can become journalists. It's already happening as employers are increasingly saying that they don't trust the degree. And why should they? Because originally the degree, 20 years ago or something, what a degree was, was a marker that you were reasonably intelligent. That's what it was. It was a marker that you were reasonably intelligent and you had been taught to think critically. Once 50% of the population are going to university, the degree is not a marker that you are reasonably intelligent. The degree isn't even a marker that you are of above average intelligence, because it could be that you have below average IQ but reasonably high conscientiousness or something. And so therefore, on that basis, you're able to get into and get through university. So it's not really telling you anything. So it's undermined as a gold standard of anything. And so, therefore, increasingly it's occurring that universities, businesses are coming up with their own methods of screening people. Yeah, they get all these applicants that have degrees. So what? What's that telling you? Bugger all. So they come up with their own entry tests or whatever. And then what's happening is that they will just bypass the degree altogether and just take the view, well, OK, you've done reasonably well at school. What's the point of you going to university? And what's the point of you spending thousands and thousands of pounds to get your degree? Let's just, unless it's something highly technical where you do need the degree, like law or medicine or whatever, if it's the kind of job where you'd go to university, do a degree in history just to show you have reasonable intelligence, and then get your job. Well, what's the point? What's the point of you having a degree if it doesn't tell me anything? So you might as well just come straight into my company and I will assess how good I think you are. And once that starts occurring, then you will see people stop going to university. You will see the decline of the university, and it will start to become an indicator of your wokeness, or something like that, an indicator that you are a member of the new woke class and little more, an indicator that you are a member of the sort of ersatz aristocracy of wokeness, that you've been to university, and that you've been, it will be a little bit like having gone to in the old days, to a sort of church-based indoctrination camp, something like that, and that will be considered good among other woke people that you've been to somewhere like that, but it won't be an indicator of anything important. Now, and in terms of there also are increasing incentives to not go to university of the financial level. We're all told, oh, you should go to university, get financial, you're going to earn more. Well, that used to be the case, but now that everyone's going to university, that is simply not the case. There's a very interesting book on this called Blue Collar Cash, in which this is explored in some detail. 45% of skilled labour roles cannot be filled. There are not enough people going into skilled labour. In 2017, there were 6.8 million unfilled skilled labour jobs. 53% of people that do skilled labour jobs are over the age of 45. Some of the salaries these people can earn are at quite a low level, are about $100,000, considerably more a year, considerably more than you would be earning, curating an art gallery or something like that. Electricians, 38% of them are over the age of 55 in the state of Virginia. So there is a massive shortage in these kinds of jobs, and it's basic economics. If there's a shortage, then the salaries will go up. This is supply and demand. So these people can earn considerably more than people that have a degree. And they will in the future be earning very, very much considerably more because of supply and demand. And it's been found that intelligent people cannot do any job better than less intelligent people. 85%, by the way, of these people say that they are happy 86% say that they are happy in their job. Let's compare that to the academics. What percent were happy in their job? It was something like 4 out of 10, wasn't it? 5 out of 10. 4 out of 10. So 86% are happy in their job, and 86% are optimistic about the future of their job. Now, what was that in terms of academics? What percent were optimistic? 10%. So the indication is that the future is in skilled trade. Skilled trade is where you want to make money. Now, you might then think to yourself, oh, well, the problem is that people will tend to put social status above money. That's well known. But if you can attain social status via something else than the university, so let's say you can be a skilled tradesman, oh, and you've done some other thing, let's say an ersatz university or something like that, then it doesn't matter, does it? And that is increasingly what could occur. Now, if you compare this to the people that have been to college in America, they are on average $40,000 in debt. Their average salary is about $50,000, which is considerably lower, of course, than the plumber or the electrician or whatever. Half of them have to take jobs for which you do not require a degree. And the wage gap now between people that have a degree and don't have a degree has basically disappeared. Unless you go to a very, very prestigious university, and they are de-prestiging themselves, by the way, by becoming woke factories and not letting in the most intelligent people, not letting in the best lecturers, but letting people in for other politically correct reasons, then there's basically no point going to university. So I'm suggesting that the universities are going to go into decline. And the result of that will be the establishment of rival institutions such as Gagan Uni, and there's a few others, which will then take their place for those that genuinely want to know about the truth and genuinely want to understand the nature of the world. Now, if you don't believe me, let me state, and I look at this, by the way, in a number of books, this has happened before. So in medieval England, Oxford and Cambridge, they had scholasticism and whatever. They came up with these amazing original sort of philosophical and proto-scientific ideas, and people thought this was incredible. And so the universities began to grow. They grew in prestige. They attracted more and more and more of the sort of Machiavellian types, the power-hungry types. And eventually they became taken over, of course, by the religion of their time, the group-oriented religion of their time, as opposed to the individually-oriented religion of their time. And by the Reformation, where they were completely taken over by religiosity, those universities went into decline. They literally went into decline in terms of numbers. And they became understood to be finishing schools for the upper class. They didn't teach anything useful knowledge. They didn't teach anything that was considered, you know, to do with logic and reason and science or anything like that. They taught things like dancing and things that were of no use to you at all. And they were basically considered to be a finishing school for the upper class. After the Reformation, it got even worse. You had to be Church of England in order to go. You had to consent to the Articles of the Church of England. You had to go to church while you were there. Anybody else was excluded. Increasingly, by the early 19th, and by the way, how you got into university, it was rather like with the system now, that they don't let people in because they're the most intelligent or whatever. They let them in for various politically correct reasons. It was the same. You get in because of the part of the country you were from, because of the noble family you were from, because you simply, you know, lived in a certain area of the, or whatever. You didn't get in because you were the best. That was because of the kind of public school you'd been to. That was how you got in. You didn't get in necessarily because you were the best. So they declined in terms of esteem, and they were increasingly finishing schools for the upper class that had the esteem of finishing schools for the upper class. I mean, what would be an equivalent these days? Having been to agricultural college, maybe? I don't know. But that was what they were like, and they weren't particularly respected at all. They were just a finishing school for... I can't think of an equivalent now would be, as I say, agricultural college or something like that. They weren't looked up to. So, of course, they went into decline. And what you found, and I look at this in my book, The Ruler of Cheshire, which is a book on the 16th century, was that the upper class just stopped sending their kids to university and sent them. The elder son would, of course, inherit the estate. So what are you going to do with the younger son? Well, they would send them to law schools, separate from going to university, or they would send them into trade, into skilled trade. That's exactly what they did. So they'd have them trained as merchants or whatever. And then from that, they would make their fortune and perhaps buy some land. And then if they wanted to... to learn things, if they wanted access to a library, then they might spend some time at Oxford or Cambridge, or some time at one of the Inns of Court, or some time at one of the so-called Inns of Chancery, some place where they had access to books, and then from there they would learn a thing or two, but then otherwise they would go into trade and so on. That was actually what happened. And by the time, I look at this in my book, Churchill's Headmaster, by the early 19th century, the universities were so bad in England that if you wanted to get a good degree, you had to pay somebody independent of your university, like an independent scholar that lived in the town, lived in Oxford or Cambridge or Durham, in order to teach you. And at the same time this was happening, you had the people that were genuinely intelligent and genuinely interested in science and knowledge and whatever, they didn't go to Oxford or Cambridge or Durham. No, they would go to the University of London, which was set up by people that were interested in religion, was specifically non-religious, or rather the colleges of the University of London, or they would go to the Scottish universities. Likewise, you didn't have to be Church of England to go there. They weren't focused on religion to the same extent. And so they taught interesting knowledge and whatever. And so going to Edinburgh University or Aberdeen or Glasgow, that was the sign of the genuinely intelligent scholar that was really interested in this kind of stuff. That's what you do. You wouldn't go to Oxford or Cambridge. That was a finishing school for the upper class. That was a bit like going on a woke indoctrination camp these days. That was what it was. It was just to teach you, manners and something that you could... people would go, oh, OK, you must be a bit posh. You've been to... But the people that were genuinely interested in knowledge, no, they would go to Scotland. They would even go to Leiden in the Netherlands. There was quite a lot of English students that went to Leiden. If you look back, we have one of the British prime ministers went to the University of Leiden. Or they would go to a German university, or they would go on the Grand Tour, and part of the Grand Tour would involve spending some time with a private tutor or something, or spending some time at a university in Germany or in Holland or whatever. That was what happened. So you, nature abhors a vacuum. So with the universities losing prestige and becoming basically religion indoctrination factories, that was what occurred. Now, it got to a point where the universities, Oxford and Cambridge and Durham, were losing money. They were useless. I mean, they were on the point of collapsing. And so in about 1871, they were compelled to reform. And they did reform. And then there was this, and then they became more focused on science and whatever. And then prestige moved back to them. And there was this golden period where the universities had prestige. And this went on, of course, until relatively recently, perhaps the 1990s, when it started to change, when you got the rise of the new religion that goes ahead of truth, where you got the expansion of the universities, where you got the various factors which caused them to be overtaken by people that tend to put feelings and empathy and dogmas and whatever above the pursuit of truth. And then this takes over the culture of the universities. And at the same time, you have this wokeism and people that are obsessed with power and whatever, and they will tend to take on the dominant ideology and push for it and take it in a more extreme direction. And this takes over the universities because that's what midwit people do. And midwit people are thoroughly able to take over the universities. And the geniuses are driven out. And now we have it all over again. And so you could understand that the new grand tour, the new Scottish universities, the new Leiden or Dresden or whatever, is going to be what you had before, which was that people who were of the upper class would go into trade, into skilled trade. That's where they'd make their money. And to the extent that they wanted to know something, to the extent that they wanted access to a library for a period, then they would, of course, enroll themselves in the equivalent of the Scottish or Dutch or universities or the Grand Tour, and that is to say rival universities to the mainstream. And that's what I think we have got to that situation again. And that is what Gegen Uni is trying to do, and that is what a number of other of these institutions are trying to do. And with the internet, of course, then you don't need access to a library. You have the library. You just need people to direct the teaching and come up with an interesting course. And that is what I hope I have done with my course Sociobiology at Gegen Uni. So I think you should all jolly well sign up for it, and other courses there as well. Emil Kierkegaard has a course there, and I think that would be jolly good. Okay, I hope this is a bit of interest, and I will see you soon, and goodbye!